You're listening to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, your host. Mind Your Own Business is a weekly show that we do talking to some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs, helping you to be better at being a business professional by learning from all of the experience that these entrepreneurs and CEOs bring from all around the world. Exclusively here on Inspired News Radio. And now it's time for Mind Your Own Business.
Well, it's a great day right here at Mind Your Own Business. Hello, everyone. I am Scott Sullivan, your host. For the next 50 minutes, I am going to take you on a journey right here on Inspired News Radio. Every week, I get to talk to some of the most fascinating people. I love what I do, and it's all because of you. Thank you so very much to all of my listeners out there, and this week is no exception. I have a young lady with me today that I am so excited to be bringing to you, that I have been trying so hard to get our schedules to mesh, and she finally broke down and gave me an hour of her time so that we can share her story with you, and I want to introduce you to Alana Davis. Alana, welcome to Mind Your Own Business. How are you today?
I'm doing fabulous. Glad to be here.
Well, we are so glad to have you. This has been one of those things where, you know, busy schedules and life just keeps getting in the way. We're so glad that you finally were able to get us into your busy schedule. I am so excited to have you. Award-winning, best-selling author. It's the thing that we are talking about today, the world needs so much more of it is, you know, we need more happy. And I love the fact is that you are the author of a book called Finding Your Own Happy, The Soul Searcher's Guide to Peace and Happiness in Everyday Life. My gosh, do we need that today? Oh, wow. Am I so excited to have you? And I'm happier just because you're here. Does that help?
Yes, it's great. It's fantastic.
Well, I am so excited that you're here. I know you're traveling. You're from Moab, Utah, but you're traveling today in another great part of the country in the Northwest. And I'm so thankful that you took some time out to share with our listeners a little bit about you and your business. So tell us, just start off with a few minutes to tell us about your coaching business called Divine Essence Coaching, and then how you came about writing a book about happiness. And then we're going to dive right into the origin story like we always do. But first, kind of give us a glimpse into the day-to-day life of Alana Davidson.
Sure. So, yeah, my book is called Finding Your Own Happy, The Soul Searcher's Guide to Peace and Happiness in Everyday Life. And my work is helping deeply caring and sensitive folks to lose the blues and find their own true happy. So if you're someone who has struggled with feeling happy a lot of your life, maybe you've tried a lot of things and it hasn't really worked for you, and you don't understand why, you don't understand what you're missing, my book is for you. It's for the people that feel like they just don't get it, or they're just different and they don't quite understand why or what they're missing.
So do people walk around and look at you and go, why are you so happy?
Sometimes. I mean, and let me define happiness for a moment, because happiness can mean like that bubbly personality, right? That super happy person. But when I'm talking about happiness, I'm talking about also this sense of like fundamental well-being in yourself and your life. And you can have a state of happiness around your experience and around life and still have a full range of emotion. So it doesn't mean that when something tragic happens, you don't experience grief, or you're not having sort of what I would call emotionally appropriate responses to the conditions and context of your life. But it's this fundamental sense of well-being that I'm okay, my life is okay, I don't feel depressed, I don't feel crazy, I don't wonder what's wrong with me, and I'm navigating life and navigating all of the appropriate emotional levels of life. And sometimes that is grief, and sometimes that's ecstatic joy, and sometimes it's anger, Sometimes anger is an appropriate emotion, but it's having access to all of that with the underlying fundamental sense of peace and what I would call happiness at the root of all of it, if that makes sense.
Wow, that is such a, that's so fantastic. That is a really, really great definition, because I understand what you're, when people think, you know, hey, he's a happy guy, then it is that outward, you know, bubbly personality. But I love the description you said that it's the actual range of emotions that are appropriate for what you are experiencing.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not a manic or a depressive state. It's that it's an emotionally appropriate position to be in. How cool is that? I learned. So here we are. See, that's what we do here at Inspired News Radio. We send out information that inspires you, informs you, and educates you. And I'm getting educated today. So thank and you very much for that.
You'd be surprised at how many people who present as overly, or maybe not overly, but extremely happy. There certainly are those people that are just naturally extremely happy, but oftentimes that extreme happy personality is masking a deeper unrest and a deeper discomfort in life. And that is someone's response to their pain in some way. So being able to experience all of it is actually a sign of being a healthy human being.
Wow, that is so cool. I love that. Thank you for that definition. So as you know, and all of my listeners know, one of the things that makes, that sets Mind Your Own Business apart from a lot of other shows is that we do delve into the origin story. And I have been doing this for a long time, and I have spent a lot of time reading biographies and getting to know people. And your origin story is by far one of the just the greatest. You know, I just when you sit back and you reflect, as you know, I'm not there yet, but I'm in my late 50s, and I look back on my life and I think of some of the greatest moments that I've had. But when people are old and gray and they're kind of on that last transition in their life and they think back on their life, you're going to be one of those people that are going to say, you know, this was life was pretty cool, because
a pretty interesting ride for sure.
Absolutely.
Which has its blessings and sometimes its challenges, of course, but.
Well, why don't you just pick a spot on the time continuum somewhere that is appropriate and just kind of give us a little of that background of the origin and how you came to find out, because to bring you to where you are today, to be a, you know, award-winning best-selling author on happiness, you had a very interesting journey to get there. So just pick a spot and tell us a little bit about, you know, growing up, Alana.
Yeah, sure. So I would say that probably the first time that I was aware on some level that I was not happy and that I was struggling with depression was probably around third grade. Probably your listeners are familiar with the song "Nobody Likes Me, Everybody Hates Me," but I remember when I was in the third grade singing that song in my head and feeling that way. And then when I was 11, I had a tragic event in my life. I lost a teacher who I'd had consistently for 4 years. He was sort of like my third parent, and he died of cancer. And I remember after that being really concerned about, what is the meaning of life? Why am I here? What am I doing? And I think I probably was 11 or 12 hearing some adults talk about another person that they know that wasn't that excited about living and didn't really want to be here. And I remember thinking in my own head saying, wait a minute, I feel that way. And I also grew up in a context where I was told repeatedly that I had a wonderful life and this must be such a wonderful place to grow up. Now, I grew up, part of my origin story is I grew up outside of what most people would consider normal mainstream society. I grew up in what is referred to as an intentional community, which is sort of the PC, more straight version of a hippie commune. So probably a lot of the connotations that you have of hippie commune are not quite accurate, but it was a sort of more communal, idealistic kind of environment. And so I had this vision of this sort of more utopian way of living that I was growing up in. And yet my experience of it didn't match. So I really felt like, wow, I'm told repeatedly, I have such a wonderful life. This is a wonderful place to grow up. And yet I don't feel that way. There must be something wrong with me. And I lived with that story for a very long time. And it was not until probably my 30s that I started to come to recognize that some of my struggles, some of my depression, some of my real challenges went back to some of the issues with my parents and the lack of real nurturing and support and guidance that I received from them, as well as this sort of cognitive dissonance about what I experienced versus what the external world was telling me, including my parents. I used to get in, I was trying to sort it all out because I was trying to make sense of my world and myself, right? And I would bring things up to my parents and say, what are you talking about? Like, there's nothing wrong here. There's nothing wrong with our family. You have a wonderful life. And I had just had this cognitive dissonance for so long until I was really able to start to recognize some of the pieces that were a little bit off. I also spent a lot of my young life, so probably up until about 30, my focus in life was really around children and the well-being of children, probably because I had such a conflictual, challenging experience myself and just an affinity for kids and then a memory for what it was like to be a kid and feel confused and so forth. And so a lot of my work that I do now is informed by my understanding of child development, what it means to be a kid, the traumas that we go through that are often unrecognized and unacknowledged, and how that can have a long-term effect on our mental health if we never get to look at it or get to address it. So that's a little bit about pieces that have added to my journey and my story, and we'll get to how they brought me to where I am now.
Wow, that's crazy. And one of the things you touched on that just resonated so strongly with me is that I don't think we realize as adults what impact we had, you know, or the impact that was brought upon us as a child when, you know, you're alienated on the playground, or you're picked on, or today we call it bullied, or, you know, or you're made fun of, or I think those things, those traumas that happen when you're, you know, 8, 9, 10, and 11, you know, in that middle school or that grade school setting, some of those have long, long lasting, I mean, very long tails. Yeah.
And it's a combination of things. And so one of the things that happened for me that I think is so important, especially for people who also struggle with feeling like, what's wrong with me? I felt like nothing really major had ever happened in my life, like majorly traumatic. Like, I didn't have severe childhood abuse. I wasn't hit. My parents weren't drug addicts. All these kinds of things that are commonly recognized as childhood trauma. And it's usually we recognize the more severe, more extreme events. And so kids who have those experiences, they can point to something like, yes, I was traumatized, and society recognizes it as a trauma. But for a whole bunch of people, and I think also for a lot of my clients, they have these experiences that are a little harder to put your finger on and a little harder to pinpoint. And so it's not like one thing that's really big. It's like all of the little things that add up together. So a combination of being picked on at school and not having support at home, and then having a tragic loss that you didn't know how to deal with, or whatever it might be in your case, when all of those pieces come together, then your needs are not getting met. You're not getting the support and care that you need as a kid. And that can end up having a similar effect of trauma on you as something like a big pivotal event, or, and not to undermine some of the severe abuse that people have gone through, for sure. That is definitely a lot to work through. And I want for all the people that didn't have that to recognize and understand that it doesn't mean that they didn't have experiences of trauma. And just because it doesn't look the same way as someone else's trauma doesn't mean that the impacts of that are any less significant or have any less of an impact on your health. And I think one of the biggest pieces is that cognitive dissonance of not being allowed to see how you've been impacted and not being allowed to acknowledge, like, wait a minute, there's something really off here. And I can have an emotionally appropriate response to that. So let's say you had a mom who was really just not affectionate at all, or you just, like, your family didn't touch. Kids need physical contact. And so that seems like in and of itself a little thing, but that's going to live in you very strongly. And being able to recognize that instead of say, oh, well, nothing really happened to me, be able to recognize that and have an emotionally appropriate response. Maybe it's grief, maybe it's disappointment, maybe it's anger, maybe whatever it is, but to be able to see the reality of the situation for what it is, have your appropriate, emotionally appropriate response, and then sort of heal from it. And that was really what was challenging for me, is like, I never got to be angry or upset or frustrated or all of these things about what happened to me, because they were never acknowledged. And it was always like that they didn't ever happen. And it wasn't until I was allowed, I gave myself permission really to be angry and to acknowledge things for what they were. That was part of me getting out of some of my really heavy depression and getting back to a place of feeling more happy in my life.
Yeah, exactly. I heard a author once give a speech when she was talking about it, and she said, abuse doesn't always leave a mark that you can mm-hmm. see.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. It's so true. And, I mean, talking
about, and depends on your temperament too, right? So some people just, like, certain things happen to them in their lives and it's like, it doesn't strike them as deeply. They just roll with it. It's just not a big deal. But if you're a sensitive person like I am, and like a lot of my clients are, then certain things that might not be a big deal for one person might have a deep impact on you in a different way. So it's like, you really have to honor your own experience of what that is.
Yeah. And you need to, yes, I can understand that. And I loved how you started off by saying, talking about a subset of the group, because you use the word, you know, sensitive, so there's mm-hmm. that's a subset of a group. And the interesting part about that is you're so right. I mean, you have to learn to communicate that too, because as a child, we don't have the skills or the abilities yet to say, mom, you hurt my feelings, or that hurts. You know, we don't have the maturity yet and the vocabulary and the,
yeah, and that requires, and in order to do that from a psychological standpoint and a developmental standpoint, you have to have an empathetic, caring adult presence in your life in order to do that. Because we, as little kids, and I write about this in my book, we're dependent on our parents to such a degree that we have to maintain that connection at all cost. And so if going against our parents or speaking out against something that our parents did that was unhappy for us and uncomfortable for us means we're going to lose some primary form of connection, that is actually a life-threatening kind of feeling, right? Because you need your parents to survive. If your parents disconnect from you, you might not survive. And so people who are able to have a caring adult in their lives that empathize with their emotions, be present with what they're feeling, have that space to recognize that things are unhappy or that they're not getting what they need. But without that, it can be really challenging. And the kid will just internalize it and say, hey, there's just something wrong with me, instead of vocalizing or articulating what's going on, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. That is, yeah, because I love what, how you put that too. Again, it's because I know that there are, I have one strange data point that I can share with you. A friend of mine won't eat tuna salad to this day. And the reason that he won't is because he was made fun of as a child because his mom packed tuna salad in his lunchbox every week. Right. Mm-hmm. So when he would go to school and get teased about eating a tuna fish sandwich, you know, and now today as a, you know, 45-year-old adult male, he still carries around that, you know, whatever that stigma right. is, and or that, for, that hurt.
For one kid, that's going to be like a memory long forgotten. And for another, because of the way it lands, because of maybe anything else going on in his life or the family, that had a lasting significant impact. It was a trauma. It's not something we would commonly recognize as trauma, but he carried around that pain and that trauma for all of those years.
And now he's an adult and can talk about it, and he still won't do it. He still, right. even though he can probably articulate it and he can probably process it as mm-hmm. an adult male now in the world, he still chooses not to because it still brings up that painful memory of him as exactly. a child. It's and like, yeah, that's so cool.
Some another thing I talk a lot about in the book is the subconscious and how our subconscious gets programmed throughout our lives. And so in the case of your friend, what I imagine is there is a wounded little child still somewhere in there that hasn't gotten the empathy or the compassion or the healing around that issue that it needs. So when that issue shows up, there is still like a little bit of charge there. There's a little bit of wound there that, you know, that little boy is maybe needing some comfort around that.
That's it.
Being having to eat. And that's a, you know, just a simple example, but there are things that are much deeper that, you know, every time a certain instance shows up in your life, you have an emotional response that doesn't fit your adult understanding, doesn't fit where you're coming from, because the wounded child inside of you is looking for some acknowledgement or some comfort. Or I talk about how to go from being the wounded child to the, like, to parent that child. And when you can separate out the two, then you can give that part of yourself that missed out on certain comforts or certain parenting, you can reassure that part of yourself. And when you can function from the competent adult rather than the wounded child, then you can face life and some of life's challenges in a much more competent and confident way.
And is it, so let me ask you this then, in your experience, have you mm-hmm. seen that spill over? Because we're talking about one guy who can't eat, you know, or chooses yeah. not to, I guess, eat tuna salad. But does that also spill over in other decisions around that? Or is it isolated?
That would be an interesting question, and I really don't know in this instance. Maybe it is just about tuna fish, or maybe if you took the time to inquire into it and inquire into what the real hurt is behind that, there might be a real hurt that also affects some other choices and other decisions in that person's life that they also carry and haven't been able to let go of. My goal is a place of freedom of choice, freedom of from the effects of my past. I don't want to be limited or conditioned by them in a way that doesn't give me that freedom of choice. And now tuna fish sandwich is a very slight example. I have a friend, she's a teenager now, but her mom put mayonnaise in her hair when she had head lice, and she has hated mayonnaise ever since then. so that's a similar example. Like, she refuses to eat it. But if you really wanted to, you could probably change that and you could create something different. But in those two instances, whether or not you eat mayonnaise or whether or not you eat tuna fish sandwiches, it's not having a life limiting effect, really. It's not impairing your quality of life or ability to function. Whereas some other things that maybe happened in childhood that you have similar aversion to or similar upset around might actually be affecting your ability to have a full life.
Yeah, right. Like, if you have a bad dental experience, experience and you don't go to the dentist anymore, or you have a bad medical experience, you know, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying. So, exactly. So is your practice generally, are your clients generally adolescents and children that are working No. through these issues, or are they adults that have these issues?
Yeah, most of my clients currently are adults that, so it's the adult that has maybe done a lot of personal development in their lives, or done a lot of, you know, self-examination. Maybe they've been to therapy. They've been around the block a few times, let's just say, trying to work out their issues, and they feel like, what gives? I still feel like I'm struggling with stuff. I still feel not all that happy, and I don't know why, and I don't understand. I'm really tired of looking at my issues because I've been doing it for a really long time, and I just want it to be different, and I'm tired of it. I talked to a woman just a few days ago. She's in her, I think, late 60s, and she had some re-traumatizing sort of event, and was just talking about her experience, and also same story. She'd like been working on her stuff forever and was feeling like, well, like, what is this really about? Because I've done all the work and I'm really tired of it. And part of that is, and this is a good deal of what my book is about, is if you're an empathic or sensitive person, then you may be actually taking on experiences of other people. You may be trying to process the feelings and emotions of other people and just think that it's you. And for me, that was one of the biggest missing keys to finding my own happy, was that I realized the extent to which I could feel everything that was going on with other people and didn't know and just thought it was my stuff, and kept trying to process it. And so when I realized that and realized, oh, wait a minute, if what you're experiencing is actually not really childhood trauma stuff that's going on with you, if it's feeling the world around you, the way that you're going to address it is completely different than how you address something that really is your issue. And so that's why therapy for a certain segment of population really doesn't work, because it's not their stuff. And so they go looking like, what happened to me in childhood? Why do I still have this problem? You're actually just feeling the feelings of someone around you. Like, you know, get in a room and all of a sudden you feel sad because you're around somebody that's sad. And then when you leave, you feel fine. That's a wow. Totally different world. Wow. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get my head around that, because I don't have that. I mean, whatever. Right. I mean, I believe I'm an empathetic person. I can evoke empathy. I can invoke sympathy.
Yes, which is different. Exactly, which is different than being. And the term is becoming a lot more common, but being a person that is an empath is a person that feels other people's. Like literally last night, I was in a meeting, and a man was talking about his 100-year-old mother and how she had fallen and was now in a coma, and the grief that I could feel. And it wasn't obvious on the surface, but I left that meeting going like, wow, like there's a lot of grief in that, because I am feeling it and I know it's not mine. But for a lot of people, they don't function that way. And so the ones of us that do, a lot of us have walked around our whole lives feeling like, what's wrong with me? Like, I'm just not like other people. What's wrong with me? And it's true. You are just not like other people. Like you're saying, I don't have that experience. And that's the truth for a lot of people. So for the ones of us who do, like coming to understand that and how to work with it is so incredibly important, and so incredibly important to getting to a place of greater happiness in your life.
So if you're a listener right now and you're, you know, maybe I feel like now I could be completely wrong, Elena. I mean, Alana, I'm sitting here saying I don't know this because I have never experienced it. But I can imagine growing up and not having a, you know, diagnosis is not a real good word. I'm trying to think of what, but having no awareness.
But that is it. It's exactly it, because like for so many years of my life, I was trying to get help and even like from professionals, but I couldn't really label like, am I depressed? Yes, but that's not really quite it. And feeling like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And if you don't know what's wrong, then it's hard to figure out where to look to find the help and support that you need. So it really is that. And I, part of the reason I wrote my book is because that was my experience of feeling like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And if I don't know what's wrong with me, then I don't know how to, what, where to go and who to talk to get help and get support. And then even when I started to understand it, I didn't find the resources out there to help me. And so that's such a big piece is that feeling of like, what's wrong? And there's not a common, I feel like it's not commonly acknowledged that this is a thing. It's becoming more and more common, but you just want to walk around feeling like there must be something wrong with me.
So is the converse true also? If you're this empath, if you have this oversensitivity to other folks,
everyone emotions, around you, yeah,
and you jump into a room full of clowns, are you going to be happy?
So oftentimes empaths pick up on, so here's my theory about it is partly why, so there's a link between what I was talking about before, which is the childhood trauma and growing up in an unsupportive, environment and being empathic. And part of that is that you heighten your senses to pay attention to danger and risk and violence. So let's say your dad's an alcoholic, you're going to increase your senses and pick up on his energy and his feeling so that you know before anything outside of, you know, anything external could tell you that something is off. And then you can maybe do something to protect yourself. And so if you've grown up in that kind of environment where you have this heightened sense of the people around you and the energy of the people around you, oftentimes that's just the way you operate. And so you go out in the world and your antennae are attuned to that. Peace and happiness is like things are okay. It's not a survival issue. It's not a trauma issue, right? So I don't need to pay attention to that as much as I need to pay attention to when anything is out of sorts or amiss. And I think that's why a lot of empathic people end up feeling so much of the pain of everybody else, because they're trying to, in some way, even protect themselves, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It makes perfect sense. So let's expand on that. Just this topic is so fascinating. This is just so fascinating. I'm so glad that you are here today sharing this with our listeners. Let's expand just a little bit now and talk about environment. So we've talked about the empath that can, you know, feel and be oversensitive. Now, I can understand how that would carry. You use the example of your father being an alcoholic and you're being acutely aware. And I can understand how that could translate into adulthood, to where you're dating someone who has one too many drinks and all of a sudden that entire trigger mechanism comes up. And all of a sudden now all those heightened experiences come back and rushing back. And I can understand how that could then sabotage a perfectly good relationship because of, you know, one person having, you know, maybe that one too many over the line, or maybe just feeling a little extra tipsy that night and having a good time. And all of a sudden you take it as that experience in your childhood.
Right, and that's the PTSD response. Like the post-traumatic stress response is that you have that disproportional reaction to something going on in your current environment.
Oh,
or
you stop
being with present reality and you go back to being 5 years old or however old you were. The ability, part of what I teach is the ability to recognize and identify when you've stopped being yourself in the present, when you stop being yourself in the here and now, and you've gone back to some past age. So it's like, oh, I'm myself in the here and now. No, I'm 5 years old again. And so,
and my dad just came home drunk.
Yeah. And so if you can identify that, if you can have the self-awareness and the understanding to recognize when you go out of being present and you go to that past experience, then the two aren't fused together anymore. And you can look at what the real issue is. The real issue is I'm having a PTSD moment and I need to address that. And let me address that first. And once I address that, then I can start to sort out what's going on in my present relationship. Now, another thing that I talked about a little bit was being allowed to see what's going on in your family and in your family of origin. So to see that you're not getting your needs met, or to see that what your parents say is just fine parenting is actually abusive or manipulative. And one of the things that I realized in my own journey, and then I see with clients, is that if you're not allowed to really acknowledge something for what it is, like I was talking about before, and the impact it has on you, then when those experiences happen in adult life, so let's say your parents were a little bit somehow manipulative in some way, and they would deny things. Well, the term really for it is gaslighting. So reality is a certain way. You question, you say, what's going on here? Or you call out that reality, and the person who's behaving in a certain way says, what are you talking about? That's not what's happening. You know, even as blatantly as, like, I read an example recently where you promise your kid if they do such and such, then they can go get ice cream or something like that. And then the kid does it. And then the kid's like, well, now can I get my ice cream? And the parent goes, what ice cream? What are you talking about? I never said that. So that's like a huge place where you stop trusting yourself and your perceptions of reality. And, oh, I must be wrong. And so when you get to adulthood, if you haven't been allowed to, like, really acknowledge, like, oh, there's weird manipulation going on here, or this person's being abusive, if you haven't really been able to acknowledge that, then when you get into adulthood and those same kind of dynamics show up, you're not going to recognize it. You're not going to be able to see it in your adult life. I don't know if I'm being 100% clear with that, but if you don't see abuse as abuse in your childhood, you're not going to see it as abuse in adulthood, basically.
Right. Until it's like you don't know what you don't know until somebody educates you. So
yeah,
at some point in your adult life, somebody gives you a life example and you go, oh, I experienced that. Right. So now you have a label for it.
A good example in my own life is being in relationships and me feeling like there's something not quite right here, and then wanting to talk about it or articulate it. And the message I got back is like, no, you're the one that has the problem. It's your issue. You're just all this kind of stuff. And that has created huge confusion in myself, because that's the same confusion I got when I was a kid. Instead of being like, actually, no, you're kind of not treating me very well and I'm not up for that, I'll go like, oh, wait. Oh, maybe I am overreacting. Maybe this is me. Maybe this is my issue. Maybe I do still have unresolved childhood trauma. And I'll question myself instead of being like, actually, no, I know that this is, like, there's something off here and I'm going to trust that. And so sorting out all of that, it can be a long journey, but I feel like sorting out all of that is really a piece of helping us come to peace and sanity and happiness in our own lives, is that ability to trust yourself and your perception of reality that has often been taken away from us as kids.
Well, this has been an amazing journey. I am just, I'm just, my head is just spinning here, because you just don't know what you don't know, like we talked about. So, if you're just joining us, my guest today, Alana Davidson, is the CEO and founder of Divine Essence Coaching out of Moab, Utah, one of the most powerful places in the world, obviously, with lots of fantastic energy. And she is the award-winning author and I want to say the expert on happiness and amazing to have you here today and to have you tell us a little bit about some of the things that we are, you know, grappling with as we grow a little bit older. So mm-hmm. the last part that we always do when we pull everything together at the end is, you know, how do we get our listening audience right now, how do they engage with you? So if anything that you've heard tonight, that you're listening to this in your car or at your, wherever you get your, whether you're listening live streaming on the radio or if you're, you know, listening to it on a podcast on your favorite device, if you are struggling with that, how to find your own happiness, that there's something different about me or I'm anything you've heard today resonates with you, how do we get a hold of you and how do our listeners then engage to try and, you know, I don't want to say cure, but try to, you know, resolve some of that childhood trauma mm-hmm. that may or may not be, you know, what society calls trauma and bring mm-hmm. us into a happier space.
Yes. So the first thing is to go to findingyourownhappybook.com and you can actually get a free copy of my, online copy of my book. So you can read a little bit more about my story. I have some great tools and resources in that book that will help you and that will get you connected to me and to my journey and my experience. And from there, you'll be getting more information, more tools about how to work with your experience. And you can also find me on social media. On Facebook is my favorite. So if you want to friend me on Facebook, you're welcome to. Alana Davidson, again, is my name. So just send me a friend request. But that's the best place to start is just pick up my book and start reading. And from there, you'll have all my contact information. And if you feel like it's striking a chord with you, it's hitting home for you, then please reach out. You can schedule a call with me from that. And we can just have a chat and we'll see, is my work and is what I do and what you're struggling with a good match? And could learning some of the tools and getting some of the guidance that I can offer going to be something that would really bring you to the next level of peace and happiness in your life?
Alana Davidson, thank you so much for being here. I am so excited. All of our listeners right now know that they can go to inspirednewsradio.com and we'll take all that information. We'll put your link to your Facebook page. We'll put your link to your Twitter, LinkedIn, your website. We'll get all of that on our page. You simply go to inspirednewsradio.com. You look up show host Scott Sullivan, and right there on Mind Your Own Business will be your headshot and all of the things about you and how to get a hold of you. And if for whatever reason none of that works, then you know all you have to do is just send a tweet or a Facebook or an email to Inspired News Radio, and we'll gladly send it out to you. What a fantastic hour. I can't, we have just barely scratched the surface. I'm struggling right here for words because I'm thinking we should have you back for another hour because we have barely even just, you know, started to dig in, and I'm so excited to have you.
I mean, there's so many layers, right, to happiness, and that's why it took me so many years to work out what was really going on for me. And my hope is that people who read my book and also work with me, we're going to cut that down so you can get right to the heart of what's really going to change things for you. Just even childhood trauma is just like one thing. Just being empathic is, I could spend an hour on that. Just, yeah. So yes. I get it. And of course, this is my passion, so I could talk about it forever.
Well, what I'd like to do is I'd like to have you back. I'd like to invite you back as a guest for a follow-up hour. But I would also like to have one of your someone that you've worked with, you know, to kind of then also have that firsthand experience. Maybe we'll do a multi-segmented hour where we have one of your clients that would be willing to share, you know, the breakthrough experience, what it was like to finally come through that cloud, because we didn't even get to the point is I wanted to talk about environment and I wanted to talk about, you know, where you live and what you have mm-hmm. around you and how,
which I also go into in my book. Context and conditions matter is the name of that chapter.
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
And I want to ask about exercise and feng shui. And I mean, there's so many things that play into happiness, you know, sleep and nutrition and
indeed.
So maybe we just need to start our own show. How about if we just have a weekly show on.
Yeah, that could be fun. I would be open to that for sure. And actually I have a client who's just graduating from a year in my program, and we were recounting some of the different accomplishments in her life, and I mean, just even amazing tangential things like losing weight, or cutting down on alcohol consumption, or just these things that have just shifted and improved her quality of life that have just been so amazing to witness over the year of her transformation. So,
I've been saying
I want to interview her myself, so I'm sure she would be a good candidate to have those conversations.
Well, Alana Davidson, what an honor to have you on our show. Mind Your Own Business is a weekly show that we do right here on Inspired News Radio. I am your host, Scott Sullivan, and every single week I say this, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, I could not do what I do without you, the listener. So thank you so much. Send in those those tweets, those Facebook messages, the messages you send on Inspired News Radio. If you have loved this hour as much as I have, please share it with everybody you know. I think we definitely need to have a write-in campaign to get Alana Davidson to do a show on Inspired News Radio so that I can listen in every week and I can be happier every week. I think it's fantastic. So I want to say again from the bottom of my heart, Alana, thank you so much for being here. And any last words before we sign off today?
Sincere wish is for anyone listening who feels like maybe they're just broken or wrong, or that there's something wrong with you. You are not nearly as wrong, screwed up, or broken as you think you are, and that you may actually have beautiful capacities and gifts that you just haven't learned how to work with or understand. And my sincere hope is that you come to understand the beauty and the sincerity of you, the truth of you, and learn how to work with your experience so that you can truly find your own peace and happiness in this life.
Perfectly put. Thank you so much. Remember, mind your own business, because if you don't, nobody else will. Until next week, you can always find us on Inspired News Radio, all of the social medias, of course. Scott Sullivan, that's me. I'm your host. And every week we have some of the most fascinating guests, and today was no exception. My gosh, what a great day it was. I hope that you got as much out of this today as I did. And I can hardly wait for the second and third hour that we are going to do with Alana Davidson. Thanks for being a listener. Thanks for Alana for being a guest. And until next time, take care of yourself and take care of others.
You've been listening to Mind Your Own Business right here on InspiredNewsRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in each week as we interview some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs in the world. Reach us on Twitter at INR Talk Radio. Always use the hashtag MYOB for Mind Your Own Business. Make sure you stop by and check out all of the past episodes and all the great things that are available on our website, www.inspirednewsradio.com. There's great resources there that you can find for all of our other shows, too. Thanks for being a part of the Inspired News Radio family. Until next week, remember to mind your own business.